I like this kid. He is crazy, but he is fun to watch.
And you're Bryan. That huge ladder into the ring.
Now Randy Orton. Randy Orton perhaps in Daniel Bryan's sights.
Randy, look out.
And there goes Orton.
Well, that's the way you can use the ladder come Sunday, that and many other ways.
Yeah, but also come Sunday, King, this is what you have to do. You got to set the ladder up in order to climb it.
This kid
to get to the briefcase.
Hairy and crazy and fun to watch, but, and he may be the Money in the Bank winner.
But six other men are going to be trying the same thing come Sunday.
I don't believe any two superstars can generate the type of emotion among our fans than these two men.
Really? You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
The best there is.
Hey, yo.
The best there was.
I may have got knocked stupid, but I think there's still some people cheering out there.
And the best there ever will be.
Your source for news.
When I look around that locker room, the only true challenge I have left is ending the streak.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Now think about that. I slapped Vince McMahon in the face.
Oh my God, the Undertaker going to the top of the cage.
From the big leagues to the local scene.
The Bollywood boys, we don't take the SkyTrain.
Now.
Was handed nothing. I busted my ass and I sacrificed for this business.
Here's James McDonald.
And you need to learn to worship the ground I walk on.
Really?
And Corey Callahan.
I'm the host of it and you're not. Now you get out of here right now.
My microphone constantly cuts out.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I'll stop you right there. I'm already sick of hearing you talk. You egomaniac.
It's time.
It's July 11, 2013. I know, we can't believe it either. Wrestling Talk Radio back on the air. This is Smack Talk Radio Live. My name is Corey Callahan, sitting next to British Columbia's best dressed James McDonald. James, how you doing, my friend?
I am bright and sunny, just like the weather outside the Smack Talk studios here in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia. Now, Corey, being that it's been 2 months since we've done a show, we have got a lot to talk about tonight because, quite frankly, the landscape of the WWE has changed quite a bit since you and I have last done a show.
Oh, my God, I don't even know where to begin. Well, who's the champion these days, James?
Well, we still got
Just kidding.
We still got the same champions, but... That's not the biggest news we have for tonight, is it, Corey? Tell them who we got. Tell them what's going on tonight.
Tonight, our return from summer break, the pinnacle of all interviews at Smack Talk Radio Live. Tonight, we talk with the Hitman, Bret Hart.
That's right, the five-time WWE champion, the two-time Intercontinental champion, two-time King of the Ring winner, and one-time Royal Rumble winner is here tonight on Smack Talk Radio Live, and we're going to talk to him.
Unbelievable. It's really like a dream come true for you and I.
Oh, I'm super excited.
What a better way to return.
I'm like bouncing in my chair here.
All right. Now to find this show, because hey, it's been a while. Let me remind you, www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Like our page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And hey, we're on Twitter, at SRL Radio. And if you're looking for a way to listen through your iPhone or through your Android, hit us up at Stitcher.com.
That's right.
All right, James, Money in the Bank. I mean, you could go back to when we last chatted and start from there and move forward, or we could start from what's coming up this Sunday and move backwards. I mean, I don't know how to do this.
Well, what we'll do, I think, is we'll touch a little bit on what's happened in the past 2 months where we haven't done a show, and then we'll really dive into the big Money in the Bank pay-per-view happening this Sunday from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. So
I think a lot of people are wondering what we're thinking about the product these days, and we're going to talk to Bret first before we get into what's been happening on Monday Night Raw and within the WWE. But just generally, James, your feelings since we last talked, WWE, how do you feel about it these days?
Well, I'm looking at the WWE product these days and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is a very, here's the cyclical transition period that we generally see the WWE in. Now, I don't know if you notice the patterns in wrestling history or not, Corey, but generally for the past 30 years, every time that there's been a year that's ended in three, it's been a transitionary year for the WWE. For example, you go back to 1983, that was the year Hogan won the title off of the Iron Sheik, and that kind of started the whole Hulkamania craze. And then you skip forward to 1993, Bret Hart, now he won his first WWE title, and that was kind of a transition phase as Hogan was moving away, right? Okay. 2003, Rock and Austin, they were kind of moving out, and then you got guys like John Cena, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit moving into the top picture. And now, here in 2013, you're kind of seeing, you're still seeing, you know, John Cena kind of at the top of the picture, but I think we're going to really start to see it phase out, and you're going to see guys like the Wyatt family, you're going to see guys like the Shield becoming more prominent. I think the one guy you're going to really see become more prominent is Daniel Bryan coming up here in the future. But as far as the product goes, I think they're going through some changes right now, and it's going to be interesting to see how it goes in the future here.
You say that, but then I feel like some of the guys that have been around for a long time, such as Mark Henry, are really delivering right now, and they're taking the reins here.
Mark Henry is doing some of the best work that I've ever seen in his career, and I mean, even past the amazing stuff he was doing in 2011. And of course, we'll talk about all that in the tail of the tape tonight.
Quickly before we move on, James, some news coming down the pipe Thursday, which is tonight, of course, and that is that the WWE Performance Center, the new WWE Performance Center, has opened in Orlando, and it's created, they say, about 100 jobs. And what this is it's the WWE's new state-of-the-art training facility. Seven wrestling rings rumored to be inside this warehouse, as well as, you know, a state-of-the-art gym, fitness experts. Very interesting. Vince McMahon tweeted out today that this kind of changes the landscape, and, you know, it's a new day for the WWE. How do you feel, or what are your initial thoughts with this new WWE Performance Center?
Well, I think it's definitely an original concept. Something like this hasn't really ever been done in the professional wrestling business before. It's going to be interesting to see what the Performance Center is really going to be. Is that where they're going to hold their NXT shows from now on instead of the university down in Orlando?
I think they are going to be moving in that direction.
Is that what the plan is?
Well, they still have this agreement with Full Sail University, so I don't think it's going to be a full-time move to the Performance Center.
Right.
But I would almost guarantee that a lot of these NXT stars are going to be doing both or working out of both.
You're right. I can imagine that. But my initial reaction is it feels like it's a wrestling school amped up like 10 times. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're putting all the money into it.
Absolutely. So.
You're not going to find a more state-of-the-art wrestling school, that's for sure.
No.
I think, personally, with this Performance Center, it really does change the landscape of how people now get into the WWE. I mean, independent wrestling back in the day was sort of the way you rose through the ranks. I'm not particularly sold on that anymore. I mean, I'm guessing you still have to start at an independent level.
Well, yeah, you got to
eventually graduating to the Performance Center.
Yeah, you got to be noticed. I mean,
the WWE
somehow
exclusive Performance Center.
Yes.
And that's kind of the next thing I'm going to say here, and that is now we have a closed-door arena for them to groom superstars. And that might come in handy because
that's not an entirely bad idea.
No, and I can cite an example, and the best example here I can give is, you know, we have the debut of the Wyatts this past Monday on Raw, and you know, they were playing these video vignettes and everyone's awaiting the arrival of the Wyatts. But one thing I just really didn't like about the debut of the Wyatts was that the entire time they were promoting this debut, I'm switching over to NXT and watching them wrestle. It's like, is it really that big of a deal when I could just turn the channel over to NXT and I've been watching them for really the last past 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that kind of ruins that. And yes, you need to give the Wyatts that experience, so you have to put them on NXT. But now with the Performance Center, I mean, you can groom these guys as closed-door prospects, and you don't really necessarily have to unveil them until Monday Night Raw. So maybe the element of surprise is something that we will all get out of the Performance Center.
Well, that never hurts in the world of professional wrestling, having a little bit of surprise.
Something we need. So that's what I like about it. Absolutely.
I mean, I hear
you. It's hard to find a negative in this announcement today, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
some interesting pictures posted too on the WWE's website.
Mm-hmm. Also some rumors that they might be opening up a physical WWE Hall of Fame and restaurant within Universal Studios in Orlando.
Well, I personally believe that a physical Hall of Fame has been sorely needed now for quite a while. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see with the restaurant venture. Are they going to make it similar to WWE New York? I mean, that was semi-successful for a couple of years.
And that was something I always wanted to go to. I still wish was there.
I mean, that was only around for, what, 2-3 years, wasn't it?
That'd be a great place to watch a WrestleMania if you couldn't go to the real thing,
wouldn't
kidding.
It? No kidding. Especially if it was in New York.
Yeah.
That'd be even better.
Okay, we're going to talk...
We've rambled on enough.
No, yes. We're going to talk Money in the Bank because, like I said, we got lots to talk about. And the realistic truth is we got to expand it past Money in the Bank and everything that kind of happened or that's been leading up to Money in the Bank. But we're going to leave it for now. I don't want to waste any time here, James. Our biggest interview of the show, really.
Oh, by far.
Bret the Hitman Hart. Quick thoughts or, you know, just your thoughts, James, on when we found out that we actually were going to get a chance to talk to Bret Hart. Because let's just be honest with everyone here. We actually talked to Bret last week. I had to delay the show a week. And, you know, so we're going to air what we spoke with to Bret about last week tonight.
Right.
Are you confused yet?
No, I totally follow you. I don't know about the people listening, but I totally follow you.
So when I came to you and I said, we are getting a chance to talk with Bret Hart, what goes through your mind?
Oh, I was completely excited. I mean, obviously, this was the biggest name that we've ever had on the show. Plus, Bret Hart has always been a personal favorite wrestler of mine. I mean, I know you and me both, we followed this guy extremely close back in the mid to late 90s. I mean, his run that he had in 97 when he was doing his heel gimmick where he was trashing the States and really speaking up Canada. I mean, people don't really realize just how big Bret Hart was at that time. Like he was getting mainstream news coverage when he was like, do you remember when he was wrestling The Undertaker back at SummerSlam in 1997?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was getting mainstream news coverage. Like he had a full page article in the Province newspaper.
Yeah.
You don't see that for professional wrestling anymore. When was the last time you saw a full page article in the newspaper for?
Well, but maybe when The Rock's involved.
Maybe when The Rock's involved.
That's
but,
about it.
But answering your question, no, I was super excited. I mean, Bret Hart, going into this show with you in the beginning, I mean, this is Bret Hart was one of those guys that I was hoping that we'd eventually get the chance to talk to.
Yeah.
So when you did finally come to me and say that Bret Hart's going to be on our show, yeah, man, I'm telling you, I was pumped.
Bret Hart is also one of those guys that just, I don't know if there's ever been a wrestler that had so many international fans. Because just as big as Bret Hart is within Canada, he's also huge around the world.
Huge in Europe.
Sometimes, possibly some places even more than he is in Canada. You know, like, that's hard to do these days.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, maybe not. But remember, I think it was CBC had listed Bret Hart as one of Canada's most influential people.
Yeah, he was one of the top 50. They had I think it was about 7 years ago, CBC had a competition, the greatest Canadian.
Greatest Canadian.
And they had 50 choices you could choose from. And they had guys like, you know, Wayne Gretzky, Terry Fox, and Bret Hart was one of the choices.
So that's how highly regarded
that
he
just,
is.
Yeah,
in
that just goes to show you what you know what he means to the Canadian culture.
And with this show, Smack Talk Radio Live, being from Canada as well, I mean, it seemed natural that we talk to Bret about Canada. This is our first and hopefully not our last chat with Bret, so we wanted to do this properly.
Exactly.
And one of the things that you and I had found out was that Bret Hart was actually or is making occasional appearances for CNWA Wrestling.
Right, the Canadian National Wrestling Alliance.
He's making appearances for them occasionally throughout the year. And it started last night, actually, Wednesday night. He was up in northern Alberta. So, you know, we asked him about that. But just, it's interesting to talk to Bret about Canada because there's not a lot of, I haven't really seen a lot of interviews where you actually do get to talk to him about Canada.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And plus, Bret's a guy, I mean, he's been all around Canada, of course, working too. So he's just chock full of, I mean, amazing stories and remembrances and stuff. So.
And if anyone has risen through the ranks of the Canadian wrestling system.
Oh, it's definitely Bret Hart, I mean.
So yeah, it was a very interesting conversation. Let's get to it. Our talk with Bret the Hitman Hart. On the line right now with the excellence of execution, Bret the Hitman Hart. Bret, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing really good. Great time to be alive.
Absolutely. Now, where are you calling from tonight? We're in Vancouver.
I'm calling from Calgary, and it's a beautiful summer day here, and it's just perfect weather here in Calgary. We're making up for that bad flood we had about a week or 10 days ago.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that. Your hometown, Calgary, Alberta. If you haven't seen the video footage up on the news, I mean, it was crazy what people saw. Floods in the downtown center. I mean, the Saddle Dome was flooded.
That was unbelievable. Up to the lower bowl like that.
Yeah. Were you in Calgary at the time of the floods?
Yeah, I was here, and you know, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I've lived here my whole life. And, it was quite a tumultuous time for everybody. I think, you know, I think there's at least 1,000 people, you know, that lost everything. You know, that's, you know, that's a lot of people still to start from scratch all over again.
Was it in your area of residence? Did you have to actually evacuate anything, or did you have to help any close
family evacuate? No, I was good. I was up nice and high and out of harm's way, and I think for the most part, everybody in my family was safe and out of harm's way. And, you know, we were just lucky, I think, that we were spared.
And
I'm between both rivers. I live between the Elbow River and the Bow River, and but I'm up high. So,
okay. One thing I also watched on the news, though, was just how fast Calgary can come together and turn this around. And actually, it's from what I understand, the restoration is going well. Do you know, I mean, you would know better than we, like, how, whereabouts are they along with progress with that?
You know, Calgary's always been a really giving town when you see, you know, things happen all around the world, like whether it's Katrina or a tsunami, or, you know, they're very generous and that way, and this time we got hit ourselves, and it's the same thing. You know, there's a lot of everybody's gotten out, pitched in as much as they can, where they can, and there's still a lot to be done here in Calgary, but for the most part, it's brought the communities together, and everyone's working together, and everyone's trying really hard to you know, help carry the burden of some of what we all went through. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's really you know, it's been a tough thing for Calgary, because it's, you know, it's one of the, you know, for sure it's one of the safest cities in the world, and you know, they really showed they had a lot of backbone, I think, in the last 2 weeks, with the way they've got through that whole, you know, thing with the river and the flooding and all that. It was quite a crisis. I don't think anyone ever has ever seen anything like that happen here ever before. But, you know, they didn't sit on their hands here. They really got in there, and from day one, they were on top of it. I think the mayor did a great job. I think people people that live along the rivers from Grand Creek to High River, you know, they've gone through a tough time, but everybody pitches in, and everyone's you know, everyone in the community's working together, and I think in a lot of ways it's bringing a lot of people together, as bad as tragedies has been.
Is Calgary going to be ready for the world-famous Calgary Stampede?
Oh, I think they're going to kick the doors in on it. It'll be great.
For sure. And it might sound like a stupid question, but the old Hart Dungeon, it was okay? It wasn't involved with the flood in any way?
No, it's the same thing. Maybe the safest place in the city.
Okay. Just thought I'd ask.
You know, it's nice and high.
Where it should be.
You know, I live right. Yeah, and luckily, you know, it was always a fortress, that house, and we take a pretty serious river to wash that one away.
Mm-hmm. You're in Calgary. We had mentioned we're in Vancouver. I just wanted to quickly ask, because you don't, as a Vancouverite, you don't ever get to hear Bret Hart talk about Vancouver. You did wrestle with the WWE back in the day in Vancouver. Do you have any memories of just quick stories of a good night out in Vancouver, or something that happened in one of your matches that you could tell us?
I always had a lot of fun in Vancouver. It was always a really good town for me. it was just, it was always, you know, for me, I was always a guy that looked forward to getting to the West Coast all the time. But even when I was in WWE, it was, you know, it was either cold or snowy in the East Coast or somewhere. You'd get a trip out west. And it was always, I always loved it. I mean, I had so many great memories in Vancouver. I probably have some great memories of Jim Neidhart in the Hart Foundation days. I remember many times Jim getting reloaded there.
We hear that quite often, you know, actually.
we left that town sometimes with the, you know, it was like a state of destruction.
Yeah.
You know, it was like you, I can't really describe it, because I usually not far off from Jim in those days, where it was like, you know, with Jim, it was all part of sort of being a good babysitter. You know, like, you had to kind of make sure Jim got to the town the next day, so you'd have to stay up and sell. I think we celebrated his birthday thing one time. And,
oh, no.
we kind of drank way too much, and Jim ordered some really nice food in a really nice restaurant. And, you know, they served him way too much liquor till way too late in the night. And at the very end of the night, the guy cut him off. He said, no more. It's, you know, last call. And from there, and after being so kind and nice, and I think they had Jim a couple of lobsters. Like, it was like a really a beautiful meal.
Oh, wow.
All sitting there all wrapped up. He never ate any of it. He had it all wrapped to go. And he got mad because he was serving last call, like he needed one. And he proceeded to smash the bar and throw his food through the bar glasses, through the food everywhere, and left there in a big scene. Yeah, that was, and I remember Jim, like, starving, not having anything to eat, and he was all.
Was it I was just going to ask. Was it known as like a town when you came to Vancouver, it was like a guaranteed good night out after the show was over?
Always, always. And even in the Stampede Wrestling days, I'm trying to think of, there was like a couple of hotels up by the airport. I know there was like strip bars and stuff like that, and all the Stampede wrestlers. And even my dad, he'd never seen anything like it. The old mining camps or whatever, the old lumber camps that my dad wrestled in back in the 30s or whatever, where it had changed a lot when he was in Vancouver. It was like, all the girls were like, I do remember the girls and the dancing girls, strip girls, were like 10 out of 10 all the time in Vancouver. They were like really nice.
They still are. They still are.
And back in the Stampede days, there was a lot of wrestlers that we stayed at the same hotel. I'm trying to remember what the name of it was, out by the airport somewhere.
Okay.
But I know that it was a lot of fun. Vancouver was always a lot of fun, especially when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I had some great times with Bruce Allen, and there was another guy that used to do the Stampede Wrestling announcing once in a while. He was an announcer from a radio guy from Vancouver. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but I know he's still on the air, still doing sports today. He's a good guy.
Are you talking about Mauro Ranallo?
No, another guy. He had,
okay.
He probably was with Seafox for a long time.
Oh, okay. I'm not quite sure then. Well,
yeah,
very.
Come back in 2 years.
We appreciate that. And one last thing on the Vancouver topic before we move on. But, you know, a lot of people have speculated that WrestleMania might come to Vancouver one day. And I know that seems incredibly far-fetched because the WWE has never really put a lot of time and effort into Vancouver in terms of bringing shows recently. I mean, we've had the In Your House pay-per-views back in the early 90s.
Our last one was like in 1998, I think.
Yeah, and then we had we had the Rock Bottom pay-per-view.
That wasn't the one in 98, yeah.
Do you ever see WrestleMania coming to a city like Vancouver, Brett? I mean, you're someone that would know better than others because you know the people that probably make those decisions. I'm just wondering, and for the fans out here, is that ever a realistic possibility, or are we just completely dreaming?
It's a possibility, but I don't know. I wouldn't hold your breath too long.
Yeah.
At the same time, you might get a SummerSlam or something like that, or another pay-per-view. I mean, mm-hmm. Maybe it doesn't have to be WrestleMania. If it's solely WrestleMania that you're holding out for me. I mean, everybody wishes they could have WrestleMania. I think it's all, like New Orleans is going to be this year coming up, mm-hmm. and Miami was last year or whatever it was. You know, it's always tough to, like this year was New Jersey or Meadowlands.
Yeah.
Last year was
Miami. I know.
I mean, they're picking all over the place, and it's when you look, it's just a matter of who can accommodate such a big city convention-wise. Vancouver hosted the Olympics. They could host anything. They can do anything that any of these other cities can. So I wouldn't say it's an impossibility, but...
I was going to follow it up with...
WrestleMania is pretty select.
Sorry, I was just going to follow it up with... Like, from what you know, has Vancouver never really been a big drawing town in terms of wrestling?
I don't know. I've been there lots of times where I thought it was, they had great crowds, even with my dad and the Stampede Wrestling, I can remember.
Okay.
Vancouver's always been a place that has good wrestling fans. They'll come out when they get to some good wrestling. I think a lot of times WWE is, for a long time, even in Calgary here, when I wrestled, they always stuck me in lousy matches. I always think sometimes they put together some lousy cards, Maybe this allows the cards together when they run Vancouver, like almost like they don't really care who's on the card, or maybe Steve Austin doesn't have to make Vancouver, but he'll make all the other towns, or Shawn Michaels, or certain guys. I don't know. I've always felt sometimes they don't pay the, they treat Vancouver or Calgary or some of these towns as like they're just towns. Don't worry about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I can remember certain wrestlers that didn't want to work very hard when they got to Calgary, or Vancouver, say, and like the crowds. The crowds weren't enthusiastic enough, so they wanted to leave out all their spots. You know, I remember Paul Romo would not want to do anything one time. He actually had a bit of an issue with him over the fact that, it doesn't, two guys can stop trying to.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to do anything for you guys either. And they end up with a difficult sort of match. And it all comes to somebody not trying hard or not wanting to give 100%. And, I don't blame some of the fans, maybe in Western Canada, for going, hey, we didn't get the full, we didn't get the real show. We didn't get the right guys. We didn't get the Undertaker, didn't work the show, or this guy didn't come up. I just know, personally, on my own personal level, when I worked for WWE, I was always really disappointed with the matchups I had in Calgary. I wish I could have wrestled Kurt Hennig one time in Calgary. I never ever wrestled in Calgary. I did wrestle my brother Owen one time, which was a great memory. We probably had one of our greatest matches in Calgary. But I really had so few great matches for WWE in Calgary. I usually had a dud, I wrestled Berserker once. I wrestled Jock Russo or something. I never really got any.
And do you think that has to do with the Pacific Northwest? Sorry, I was just going to ask. Do you think that has to do with the Pacific Northwest stigma? Like, was it just kind of like, well, we're coming to the Pacific Northwest?
I think it's like when they usually book Vancouver, they book Calgary, they book Edmonton, and they book sort of a little tour guys.
Yeah.
And I just think sometimes they go, you know what, we're going to give Shawn Michaels the week off. We're going to give Undertaker the week off. So and Cena doesn't have to make it. And they send a sort of a half-assed card up there. And, people that are wrestling fans, they know, they check, they look at the cards that are in Seattle and in Portland, and they sort of know what's going on. And when they see that they're not getting the whole show, you start to feel, I think, not just like over the last 6 months or last year, but over 15 years, you go, I'm kind of, maybe I have something else to do this weekend instead of wrestling.
Yeah.
I think it's all how you pay attention to the market. And I think you might be right, or someone could be, it might be fair to say that they don't pay attention to the market enough. And, all you need is someone, like I always remember Bruce Allen was a real, just a real smart guy when it came to, intuition on what your wrestling fans and what crowds, what they wanted. And, they should hire somebody like him to take over wrestling in Vancouver.
Oh, interesting.
That'd be a bad idea.
Vince McMahon should call him up and say, hey, we need to revive the markets in, Vancouver and certain places. And
Something tells me Bruce Allen's got other interests elsewhere. He's very successful from what I understand these days. He's done well.
Yeah, but, he's always been a big wrestling fan too, I think you never know. He's a smart guy, and Vince is a smart guy, and sometimes it just takes a good matchup and, could work out for both of them.
Fair enough. We'll hold on to hope to that idea. We're talking about dedicated wrestling fans, and really there's no more dedication than local wrestling and grassroots wrestling in Canada and the independent scene specifically. And something you're going to be involved with this summer is the CNWA, the Canadian National Wrestling Alliance. It's a relatively new idea in Canada with the independent scene. And yes, we've seen it down in the States with the, NWA and the different territories down there. But this is maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but this is kind of a new concept where promoters from across Canada have come together to form a wrestling alliance. Good idea, Brett?
I think you got to do it for nowadays. It doesn't hurt to stick together and try to at least, I think the longer you've been in business, the more, credibility you have. And if you can, just survive, you might have two or three good wrestlers, and then you get a this thing, you can eventually get really good talent from other places. and you start building a good pool of talent and good relations with other guys. So you need some other stars, because it's not easy for the wrestlers these days to make a good living, you know, like a good living in wrestling on the independent level. If you're only working for one promoter, sometimes you gotta, you know, if you can make a payday working in Calgary, if you live out in Vancouver and you can shoot out and work for a guy in Calgary or Edmonton or even Saskatchewan, mm-hmm. it all helps to help everybody. It's a tough business these days, especially if, you know, if it's one day you get to the WWF, but, you know, not everybody gets to the WWF. It doesn't mean there's not good wrestling. There's a lot of really good independent wrestlers, and if you look at WWF or WWE, you realize that most of the best wrestlers right now are wrestlers like, you know, CM Punk and Bryan Danielson and stuff like that, that the guys that worked the smaller promotions for a long time and paid their dues and are the big stars today, you know. So I think
a lot of those stars, you know, have come through. I was just going to say, Brett, sorry about that. I was just gonna ask, like, a lot of those wrestlers have come and wrestled through the territory circuit up in Canada. Is it still considered, from what you understand, the place to come to? Is there a promising future with independent wrestling in Canada?
I think so. I think you know, there's been a lot of great Canadian wrestlers, and wrestling Absolutely. Is quite popular. You know, wrestling's still really popular in Canada, and so if there's a lot of great Canadian wrestlers and it's still really popular, I think you're going to see wrestlers in the future that are going to always aspire to be the next Bret Harts or the next Owen Harts or the next Chris Jerichos. Or, you know, there's lots of guys that have sort of, you know, heaved the torch in the air and are carrying, you know, everybody from Lance Storm to, you know, there's just a lot of great Canadian wrestlers. And, you know, I think that... it's just a natural thing that people, you know, in Canada, I think if anything, they're held to a higher standard, you know. I
Absolutely.
Think in the actual wrestling, in the dressing rooms and stuff like that, you're actually respected and required to be a little more respectful than the American guys are down south. And that always pays off. And you always see it, and you see it today in wrestlers, the guys that started in WWE that are Canadian are always humble and real hard workers and guys that don't complain a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a lot to do with why they do as well as they do. They always have good attitudes. Wrestlers from Canada always have a good attitude. They always sort of get their feet on the ground, and they're never troublemakers so much, and they're not whiners and complainers when things don't always go right. And they're just very rational most of the time. And, you know, American wrestlers are a little more hot under the collar, a little more opinionated, a little more sometimes they're a little harder to deal with, and you know, the egos get a little out of check and different things that set them back. But in Canada, I don't know if it's just because it's tougher, maybe because you don't get the audiences or the fans that maybe that you do in the States. But,
well, we are bizarre.
They're always a little more humble. They're always a little more humble and a little more appreciative and respectful for the fans that they do get. And they always got, I've always found, and was always the case for me, that I always try to make time for my fans and take one extra picture, and it wasn't such a big deal to sign somebody's autograph. Whereas you get a lot of guys that forget where they come from, and all of a sudden it's like they don't have time for an autograph anymore. They're superstars, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes they are superstars, and you know, they earn that right to, you know, to pick and choose their fans and stuff like that. But I think Canadian guys never forget where they come from, and they always remember being that little kid staring up looking for an autograph too.
Very true.
Something about the way Canadians grow up.
I hope you're listening, aspiring wrestlers from Canada. Words spoken from no one greater, I would have to say, coming from this area.
Absolutely.
Brett, you are going to be wrestling in Atikamekw, Alberta, and that's north from Edmonton. And
well, I won't be wrestling.
Then. You're not wrestling. Not wrestling. Sorry. Well, making an appearance.
Not wrestling.
Making
an appearance. But I'll be there.
I'm still stuck in the
making
90s,
Brad. That's okay. I mean, I'm in heart and spirit. I wish I was wrestling.
And that's why I said it, because I wish as well. But Atikamekw.
It'll be great.
Yeah, it's it's pretty much the exact opposite of watching you on Monday Night Raw. Just quickly, what's it like to go into a small town like this and entertain the fans that you have in that small town?
Well, I think that you know, it's there for there's a thing called Treaty Days, and it'll be kind of a big fair, and it'll be fun. I think you know, you're gonna get a lot of interesting people that don't normally come across. That haven't seen me maybe, and you know, I've done a lot of appearance work in sort of Calgary and say, but you know, I don't really get up north of Alberta, and so I know there's a lot of fans that cheered me for a long time that never got a chance to really see me up close, maybe mm-hmm. other than maybe more Stampede Wrestling or something like that. But you know, it just might be a chance to see some fans that have waited a long time to see me, and be good for me to go up there, and I'm expecting a great trip. I know Northern Alberta is beautiful this time of year, and it's going to be a beautiful drive, and
very hot.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great trip. Well, maybe, you know, yeah. But we, you know, if you could just see it right now, how beautiful it is in Calgary, you guys would finally maybe realize why we live here in Calgary rather than Vancouver. Hey,
I love Calgary. I've always said I would go. I'd move to Calgary if I ever had to leave.
We suffer all year with the worst, coldest winter, but it's for days like this that we realize that we're really lucky.
I work there every once in a while, so I know what it's like. I've driven through some of those snowstorms. It's pretty crazy, but not these days. Brett, finally, we're going to let you go here, but I want to quickly ask you, and this is more for the fans than anything, but WWE, Money in the Bank, it's upcoming. No one's ever seen Bret the Hitman Hart in a Money in the Bank ladder match. Is it a match that you wish you would have wrestled in? What do you think of the concept?
Maybe, yeah, I think it's an interesting concept. I mean, I'm the guy that I think brought the ladder match to the company in the first place.
You and Sean, that's right.
Yeah, never Sean. That wasn't me and Sean. It was me.
Yeah, he's my co-host, Brett.
Brought it from Calgary. I brought it from Calgary, and Sean stole the idea from me.
Okay.
I
stand corrected.
It's always been I wouldn't say it's a touchy spot anymore, but we all know what happened. Sean, too.
Yeah, all right.
They stole that idea from me, but I would love to have had a ladder match. I think if they hadn't stole the idea from me and used it in WrestleMania, I would have had a ladder match with Owen instead of a cage match.
Mm-hmm. That would have been good. That would have been really good.
Mm-hmm. And then we would have had, you know, it's the concept that was great. Sean got all the credit for having the great match with Razor Ramon, but it's easy to take somebody's idea and just do all the spots that you can do, like falling mm-hmm. off the ladder. You know, it's nothing but suspense in a ladder match. And so, especially when no one had seen one before, and, you know, I think I would love to have had a ladder match to somebody, but mm-hmm. The rest of it, you know, all the things that come on top, like they've taken it so much further than that today with, you know, things in a ladder match that, like, just Edge and some of these guys have done so much in these matches previously and, you know, over the years, the Hardy Boys and different guys where it's like, geez, they've taken it up so high that, you know, it would have been interesting to see, say, Bret Hart and Dynamite Kid have a ladder match in, you know, say, circa 1987, 88.
Oh, my God. Take my money now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish we could have done that. But a lot of wrestlers have come down the road all these years later from, you know, like I said, some of the guys I just named that have, you know, really, including Sean and Razor, you know, I mean, give them the credit that they deserve. They had a great ladder match, and you know, it still stands out to most people as maybe one of the greatest ones of all time. And you know, I have no problem saying that it was a great match. Yeah. It was always the idea that was great.
Do you like the Money in the Bank concept? Do you feel like that's brought some importance? I feel like the Money in the Bank briefcase does mean something these days.
Yeah, I think it's a different idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like King of the Ring. Sorry.
Yeah, I'd say it's similar to that. Yeah. It's at least different and interesting. It's not so easy to be different and interesting all the time. And I think, I know they don't have the King of the Ring anymore, but that was a good pay-per-view. I don't know why they lost that one.
It was a good way for a younger guy to kind of make that next step up too, right?
Yeah, I always liked it. And I liked the... They had a bit of a history of different guys that were the kings of the rings, from me to Owen to Steve Austin to
it was kind of a neat elite group of guys that, you know, were the kings of the ring.
Yeah, it just kind of cemented that you were one of those top guys and was going to be one of those top guys going forward.
Yeah, and exactly. And I think, you know, for me, like the Royal Rumble was always a good one, and SummerSlam was always a good one. I always hated the Survivor Series.
I would for good reason.
It was just got to be a little bit too many tag teams and too much.
It's,
I hated being in the matches.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying.
They were a hell.
Yeah.
You never got to do anything long enough. That was actually a big waste of time.
Yeah. No, I would tend to agree with you. It's kind of like, what's the end result of this match? Like, where was it going? And regardless, Brett, we got to let you go here. Listen, from two guys in their 30s, this is really the pinnacle of all interviews for us. I mean, we've been at this show for 3 years now, pumping it out week after week, and this would be the interview that we've been waiting for. So from both of us, I want to say thank you for coming on Smack
Absolutely,
Talk Radio
man.
Live tonight.
Okay, guys. Take care. Good luck with everything.
All right, you too. Take care, Brett.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, I don't know about you, man, but that was really exciting for me, be able to talk to Brett the Hitman Hart like that. A guy who has managed to remain relevant in the professional wrestling business. I mean, being retired full time, and
yeah, that's very hard to do.
He's been around, obviously. Just talking to him the way that we were and just listening to him, you know, how he'd give his answers, you can tell the guy has been around. He's got tons of stories to tell, and I mean, we just scratched the surface with Brett here. I mean,
he's one of those guys that you could talk to about wrestling directly for 8 hours or more. The guy has got a wealth of knowledge.
Unbelievable.
Of just the entire industry as a whole. I mean, he has really been around the block. I hate to use that term.
And that interview felt like it was what? That felt like it was 2 minutes. I knew it was longer than that. But I mean, that just flew by. And I mean, what a class act. I can't say enough for the character of Bret Hart, the person. I mean, really good guy. And
he hams it up at some times.
Of course. Of course.
He goes into Bret Hart. He goes into that mode at certain times.
You know,
and that's how you stay relevant.
Exactly. And you know what? He's able to poke a little bit of fun at himself. And he's able to, you know, and he speaks his mind about stuff. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care, which is what you want.
He's making appearances throughout the year for CNWA. That is the Canadian National Wrestling Alliance. And you can find more information about the CNWA at their website, cnwawrestling.ca. Thank you again to Brett.
Yes, very much appreciated.
Very interesting to talk to him about Money in the Bank as well. It's something we never saw. Bret Hart in the Money in the Bank match. Something you wish you would have saw?
That would have been quite interesting, I think. I think if we had seen maybe like Bret and Owen or something in a Money in the Bank match, that would have really added that extra level of dynamicness to it.
Do you have a favorite Bret Hart match?
A favorite Bret Hart match? Well, to be honest with you, I'd have to say this is going to be kind of weird, but my favorite Bret Hart match is when he won his fifth and final WWE title against The Undertaker at SummerSlam 97, Heart and Soul.
Okay.
The reason that's my favorite match is just because of the memories that are attached to it. I remember being with a group of my buddies. We were all watching it actually on Scramble Vision. We weren't even watching the actual pay-per-view because none of us had a black box. So we were watching this thing on Scramble Vision, and we remember that finish. I don't know who thought up of that finish. I wish that should have been a question I asked Brett, but I don't know who thought up of that finish with Shawn hitting Undertaker with the chair.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. Simple, beautiful finish. That's definitely my favorite Bret Hart match. What about you?
If I ever get an opportunity to talk with Brett again on this show, I want to spend a solid amount of time talking to him about this show. And that was In Your House 16, Canadian Stampede from the Saddle Dome in Calgary, Alberta.
Oh, that was a great show.
You remember that?
Yeah, that was a wonderful show.
That is my favorite pay-per-view of all time. And that was the main event. Remember the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart, Jim Neidhart, Owen Hart, the British Bulldog, and Brian Pillman. Remember they were taking on Stone Cold Steve Austin, Ken Shamrock, Goldust, and the Legion of Doom.
That's right. I remember Owen, he rolled up Stone Cold for the win in that match. And
that
the crowd just went nuts.
That was just when wrestling was just really good.
It was. That 97 was
July of 97.
That was just a golden era of wrestling. It really was. And I mean, that card, Corey, that card only had four matches on it.
Yeah.
And it just goes to prove you, as long as the matches are good, it doesn't matter if you have four matches on the card. If they're all good matches, it's going to be a great show. And that was a great show.
In our chat with Brett, he had kind of mentioned that he never really had any really great matches in his hometown and that he kind of wished he did. I thought this one was up there. I got to admit that this was, for me, one of the most anticipated pay-per-views in my mind.
Mm-hmm. So, no, I totally agree
cool.
with you.
Thanks again to Brett. Now, Money in the Bank, James. We talked to Brett about it. I figure I should talk to you about it.
All right, Money in the Bank. Yeah, it's...
No, hold on a second. We got to play the music.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm jumping the gun. Okay, I'll shut up now.
Tail the tape. Let's kick it off.
To start it off, to say the things unsaid, we toast this life.
Don't turn into animals. You know what? Vicky didn't fail. You know who failed? Each and every one of you just failed. You threw away what could have been the most entertaining general manager of Raw of all time. You threw it away. You failed.
It's time for the tale of the tape. This night, hear the fires burning.
Take this boat. Just classic Vince McMahon this past Monday on Raw when he was doing the job performance review of Vicky Guerrero sitting alongside Stephanie McMahon and Triple H.
Oh, you mean the America's Got Talent segment of Raw? It's just classic. No, you're right, though. Classic heel Mr. McMahon, though, that we've all grown up with and known to love. I mean...
How good was that?
Oh, I loved it when he turns on the fans like that. It's beautiful.
And just the way he consoled Vicky Guerrero. Have you ever seen Vince McMahon walk someone out of the ring to the back with his jacket over their shoulders?
Just completely over the top. And I mean, is it wrong that I feel like Vicky Guerrero is coming out of this whole thing as the babyface? Like, I felt bad for her. I really did.
Well,
I mean, she's looking like the babyface out of this whole thing.
Courtesy of Stephanie McMahon.
Oh,
I am not a Stephanie McMahon.
Don't even get me started on how terrible she is. But all right. We're getting ahead of ourselves here. There's been a lot that's happened here in the last 2 months between the Extreme Rules pay-per-view and Money in the Bank coming up this Sunday.
It's like one preview show of a pay-per-view to the next preview show of a pay-per-view.
Basically. So we've had a few things happen in the WWE. The landscape's changed a little bit, and I thought maybe we could touch on a few things before we started diving into the whole pay-per-view experience that's happening this Sunday.
Well, I'd like to maybe start with this, James. Where have we been for the last while?
I don't know. Where have we been? It's, you know what? It's just, what do you say? Certain things come up. I mean, you've had some bad things happen in your personal life, whereas I've had some good things happen in my personal life. I mean, my sister just, you know, gave birth to a beautiful baby girl, so I'm now a real uncle. So that's been taking up a lot of my time as well. So
we do apologize to our viewers or listeners out there, I should say. I mean, it's never good to disappear for as long as we did, but the fact of the matter is we are both very busy people. We're not getting paid for this show. If we need to take a little break, we need to. And for me, myself, when I think about it, there's no better time to take a little break from everything and just, you know, get yourself centered and back to normal than right after WrestleMania, because it's just not that good.
Yeah, that's, I will agree with you. Kind of May and June are kind of really the weak months in the whole WWE rotation. I will give you that. But Payback, the pay-per-view that was between Extreme Rules and Money in the Bank, actually turned out to be not a bad show. A lot better show than people were originally giving it credit for.
The truth of the matter with myself, though, is I'm finding that something is missing with professional wrestling. Yes, the storylines are really good, and, you know, there's lots to talk about, which there is. And you know, business is doing well. The stock price is up. Television ratings are solid. Fans seem to be interested, but for me, I'm just not quite there. And my biggest, the best way I can probably describe how I feel is I try to think of, like, the rest of the world. And the question I would ask is, does the rest of the world, other than the hardcore wrestling fan, really, are they really talking about the WWE these days? Or is this just a tight-knit group that come together each and every Monday and we're putting out a product for those people? Or is the rest of the world talking? Does that make sense?
Well, if you're really going to go that broad and that deep, I would say probably not. Because, I mean, professional wrestling as a whole still has a stigma attached to it. Whether you want to believe it or not, it still does. I mean, I mean, that's a whole other topic for another show. But
I'm not rushing to my television set on Monday to see what happens. And if I'm not, and I consider myself to be one of the most loyal WWE fans throughout the years, if I'm not, or others, and I guess television ratings are proving me wrong, but
the ratings have actually been pretty good lately.
They're above a 3, so it's not like I can sit here and say no one's watching.
No.
I just wonder if people are watching with the same enthusiasm, the same interest, the invested interest. Are they, like, losing sleep thinking about what's going to happen this Sunday? Or is this just a matter of we want to watch wrestling, so we're tuning in and we're either going to be impressed or we're going to be disappointed. We'll see how it is when it's 3 hours later after Monday's Raw is over. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like there's this element of awesomeness that the WWE is missing, and that's such a ridiculous word for us to use.
I have a feeling that people nowadays are going into Monday Night Raw with the attitude that it's going to be a crapshoot. You got a 50% chance of it being a great Raw, or you have a 50% chance of it being a crap Raw, and it's essentially just a roll of dice when you sit down and give them your 3 hours type thing.
And that doesn't work for me. I'm sorry. I need more than that. I think 3 hours, and we've beat it to death already, but I think 3 hours does kill the product. It's very difficult for me to sit through 3 hours without hitting fast forward. That is just the honest truth from me as a wrestling fan. It is hard for me to watch 3 hours of Monday Night Raw beginning to end when, first of all, I find they're blatantly filling time with longer matches, which I can appreciate, but
some of them aren't bad. I don't mind some of the longer matches.
Okay, but there's a difference between having a longer match with an invested interest and a longer match to just get us through 3 hours.
No, I do hear what you're saying. You're kind of griping about, well, yes, we're having good matches. They're having long matches, but at the end of the day, they're not really meaning anything. The wins and the losses aren't meaning anything.
And I look at the storylines as well, and I just feel like there's nothing. And, you know, again, we're Rock Cena, WrestleMania 28. Everyone is invested in this storyline like it's one of the greatest storylines ever. And I know that Monday Night Raw is nowhere near that level, and it's not supposed to be. But I just am really, you know, for example, they're pushing the Wyatt family's debut. And, you know, we're supposed to be all amped for it. But for some reason, I'm not. And, you know, like John Cena, Mark Henry, this Sunday, Money in the Bank, it's a big WWE Championship match. And you know what? Like, I'm going to come to this Sunday and it's like, do I have nothing else to do today? Okay, I'm going to order the pay-per-view. Or is it, I'm sorry, I'm putting everything, all my other plans in my personal life aside to watch Money in the Bank. Do you know, like, that's where I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time getting amped for the product.
Okay, fair enough. What if WWE had something like TNA's Bound for Glory series, where they had like a whole tournament structure where matches had point values depending on the outcome of the match and matches actually meant something. Would something like that make it maybe more interesting for you on a week-to-week basis?
I mean, you could argue that this Sunday is one of those instances. I mean, we have the Money in the Bank briefcase. Whoever wins these briefcases, really, that is like winning a King of the Ring style tournament. I mean, this is this
generation's King of the Ring. I said that when I was talking to Brett.
So for me, I don't think that would do it for me. To me, that's a much bigger problem, and it's how they present the product as a whole, and that's a whole other conversation for another time. I'm just letting you know that since we have last done an episode of Smack Talk, I just feel that I haven't really cared if I missed it or not.
Mm.
And I consider myself to be one of the most loyal fans, so I'm really wondering what others are thinking. And you know, there are just some people that just love what they put out there no matter what. But then I think that there's a lot of fans out there that are kind of like, well, I'm not really loving the product, but we're going to watch because it's the WWE and what else is there to watch?
Do you guys feel the same way Corey does? We have an email address on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. If you guys feel like Corey does, send us an email. If you guys think Corey's just off his rocker, send us an email as well. On air, smacktalkradiolive.com.
What's funny is that when we were on our little summer break there, you know, I get people emailing me saying, I can't wait to hear what Corey has to say about the product. Because really, the rant should be building up. And believe me, I want to unload on the product. I really do. I want to just go off. I want to just, but I just know that would be bad for business.
Honestly, I don't think it would be 100% warranted, honestly, to go off on it.
Well, okay.
I don't think it's all that bad right now. And like I said off the top of the show, The company's in a transitionary period right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been cyclical. If you go back and you look at the history of the company, like I said, they're in a transitionary period right now. So you got to keep that in mind. It's the product's not always going to be like this. It's going to it's going to change, it's going to evolve. You're going to see, I think, a lot of changes happen as Triple H starts to take more of the reins of power away from Vince. I mean, let's face it, as long as Vince is still alive, this thing is still going to be Vince's baby. He's still going to have the last say.
I'm still here watching. I haven't checked out, you know, like I'm still here watching, but that doesn't necessarily mean I have to watch with huge interest. I'm watching, but I'm not as excited as I was maybe as, you know, when CM Punk is heading into Money in the Bank to face John Cena. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, I hear you. I hear you.
But... I'm having a hard time getting an overall amped feeling for the product. And to me, that's a bigger problem. It's how they present the whole thing. It's how they've gone about business. And it's a conversation for another time. But, okay, you say it's not warranted. You say a Corey Callahan-esque rant isn't warranted.
No, because I'm probably in a different boat than you as far as the product's concerned. I'm kind of excited to see what they're going to do and how they're going to move forward here in the future with it. So,
okay.
I mean, it's things like Daniel Bryan getting his big push. I mean, he's looking like he's going to be the next big face of the company. Stuff like that. I mean, got me interested and got me hooked.
It's been a while since we've done a show. So let's go and just start. Let's start talking about certain topics. Daniel Bryan to start, okay? Daniel Bryan has seen, they're putting everything on his shoulders at this point.
Is there anybody who's more over in the company right now? Wherever he goes, look at him. Wherever he goes, whenever he comes out, hits that ramp, the crowd's behind him. They're into that yes chant. They're into the arm thing. I mean, he had lasting power, whereas Fandango didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. The crowd is into him. I mean, that yes has gone so far with him. And it's not even like you just say the yes chant is the reason, because he's backing it up with in-ring talent.
Absolutely.
He's good on the mic.
He's going out there week after week, wrestling 15-minute matches.
He can be funny.
Good matches of the night, yes. And he can be funny.
And he can be serious.
He's got it all as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he could probably use a little bit more mic, you know, work on the mic work, but he's not disgusting.
I think he's good.
I don't cringe when he gets the mic.
I think he needs to shave the beard.
No way. The beard is what makes him. The beard is his look.
I disagree.
The long hair and the beard.
I think it's hard for people our age to really, like, love this guy.
I think what he needs to do is I think he needs to shave his head. I like when he had the shaved head. He needs to keep the beard but shave the head. That would be a good look, I think.
It's a marketing tactic. Of course. You know, like just like Cody Rhodes and his mustache. I'm just saying, I'm not a big fan of that look. So.
CM Punk and his Wolverine chops.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I just think like Daniel Bryan, like someone like CM Punk could have girls behind him, right? Mm-hmm. Are girls really getting behind those mutton chops of his? No.
Well, some Shave girls. It. Some girls.
There's
I don't
a
know.
Sense of legitimacy when you have.
You'd be surprised.
Well, okay, but there's a sense of legitimacy when you have a bit of a clean cut look.
No, of course, yeah.
You know, like.
I mean, look at Cena, for example, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Daniel Bryan heading into Money in the Bank. He really looked tall at the end of this past Monday's Raw.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, the smart money is on Daniel Bryan to win that All Stars Money in the Bank match. So having him come out at the end of Raw like that. Is that them foreshadowing his victory, or is that them throwing us a swerve? Because if you follow booking 101, he's not going to win the match now that he was standing tall at the end of Raw like that, is he?
Well, why am I going to watch pay-per-view if I just really have just watched the end of the pay-per-view this past Monday on Raw? Like, I can't see them doing that finish twice in a row. Him standing at the end of the at the top of the ladder with the briefcase.
But you know what? They might just do that, and that could be the swerve, right? Everybody thinks, okay, Daniel Bryan's not going to win now because he was standing tall at the end of Raw, and then all of a sudden he does win. That could be the swerve right there, right?
Daniel Bryan versus Kane versus Sheamus versus Christian versus CM Punk versus Randy Orton versus the returning Rob Van Dam, and that's for a WWE Championship contract.
Yeah, that's the All-Stars... ladder or Money in the Bank ladder match there.
Rob Van Dam returning. Your thoughts?
I like that actually. I mean, and for him it's good. I mean, he's not getting any younger. The guy's what, in his mid to late 30s now? I mean, if you're going to have another run with the WWE, now's the perfect time to do it. Yeah. And I mean, he's not going to be working a full-time schedule, I don't think. And it's a new face. It can add some, you know, it can change some things up, you know, make some new matches and stuff like that. So all in all, I think it's I think it's a good thing. Obviously, it's all going to depend on too on how he looks. I mean,
yeah.
I
think he looks good. I think he looks good.
I think he's going to be coming in shape. I mean, he wasn't looking that great in his final days in TNA there.
He's in his 40s, so it's going to be interesting to see. I think the part.
Is he in his 40s?
Yeah. I think the part time full time contract plays a lot into this. And you know, if he is on a part time basis with the WWE and not going on the road all the time, I can't see him walking out Money in the Bank. I could see him having some of the most impressive spots on the show. But he's not going to walk out with that briefcase in his hand.
Well, I'll tell you what I think, but I think we should talk about some other things here first before we actually get into
let's just finish this match off while we're here. While we're here. Like, some variables to win the match would have to be CM Punk or Randy Orton,
mm-hmm.
right? Those two guys have got to be up there with Daniel Bryan for possible winners of this. If CM Punk wins, it would be his third Money in the Bank.
That's right. And actually, if you ask me, I think CM Punk's going to be the one to win the match, personally.
Yeah.
I think this is what I think. I think we're going to see CM Punk win the match. He's going to do what John Cena did last year. You remember John Cena won the briefcase last year and then right away challenged CM Punk. Well, you're going to see a reversal of that this year. You're going to see CM Punk, he'll win the briefcase. He'll challenge John Cena, but then you'll see Brock Lesnar come in, cost CM Punk the match, a la what happened to John Cena last year. And that'll set up Brock Lesnar and CM Punk going into SummerSlam.
Why do I have this sneaky suspicion that it'll actually be Sheamus that walks out all-star winner of Money in the Bank?
God. If there's any one of those seven guys that I don't want to see the match, I'd rather see Christian win over Sheamus.
No kidding.
Like, I'm sorry. If there's anybody who is, to me, just staler and boring in the WWE right now, it's Sheamus. Mm. You know, he needs something. He's got to change it up. Maybe he's got to go back to being a heel or something, but he's got to do something to change it.
I have come to this conclusion that the WWE has now separated the roster unofficially, and it's like you are geared towards the adult audience or you are geared towards the complete kid audience. And I put John Cena and Sheamus in this category where they are geared towards the youngsters. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. You need them. I also put Ryback in that category.
Yes.
Someone that's just, they're completely grooming to cater to the youngsters that are in the crowd.
It's funny how many young kids like Ryback. It's just, he's super old.
And
I can't
stand him. I cannot stand him.
It's unbelievable. Oh, speaking of people who have completely fallen off the map, yeah, let's talk about Ryback. I mean,
I put him on the same level as Sheamus. He's for those kids, and I look at it like, oh my God, get off TV.
Like, well, talking about Ryback, I mean, can this guy ever be taken credibly anymore? I mean, especially after a couple weeks.
Momentum has been definitely lost.
Where the guy just stopped his own match. I mean, that just makes you look really bad. I don't know. I don't know why you'd agree to do that, but.
But getting back to the All-Star Money in the Bank,
yes.
Who's your official pick?
My official pick is CM Punk. I think CM Punk's going to come out of that. And
Fair enough.
Just because of what I just told you.
I'm going with Sheamus.
You're going to go with Sheamus?
Yeah, I can't believe
that. Oh, wow.
I don't want it, but I can't. I think that's what's happening.
Now, I'm sure a lot of people are going to sit here and ask us, why haven't you guys, you know, well, you guys aren't going to consider Rob Van Dam? I mean, he's going to be super over, and he's going to be easily the crowd favorite in Philadelphia this weekend.
I think the part-time schedule plays a factor. You want that guy walking out with the Money in the Bank briefcase to be on your house shows, and you want him out there all the time. And if he's not back all the time, that kind of puts a question mark for me.
What if you had something like the Wyatt family interfere and cost Rob Van Dam his, you know, cost him from winning the match, and that would maybe get some extreme heat on Wyatt family? What if they did something
very
like
possible?
That, you know.
I don't really know if we should go eat down each Money in the Bank match. Let's just throw out a couple topics. You talk about Wyatt family here. Let's talk about their debut.
Let's talk about the Wyatt family. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the Wyatt family debut this past week on Raw, it's gotten a lot of rave reviews from people. But personally, I mean, it wasn't that impressive to me. I mean, it was just a guy walking out with a lantern. I mean, yeah, it was shot really well. The way just his eyes were lit up and how he, you know, sat down and blew out the lantern, but I mean,
have they ever put more production value into the debut of new superstars the way they have done for the past, what, 6 weeks here?
Oh, very rarely. I mean, the vignettes that they've built up for these guys have just been, they've been some good vignettes, that's for sure.
They're very well done. Mm-hmm. A lot of production value. If the Wyatts didn't debut this past Monday on Raw, I was going to become very uninterested because it was going on too much.
Mm-hmm.
They've put a lot...
I think a lot of people were feeling that way, too.
They've put a lot of... you can see they are banking on this to take off, just on how they're strategically placing these vignettes. I mean, they're putting them at the very end of Monday Night Raws,
right.
You know, leading you into the next week, right? Like they're trying to leave this lasting image that these guys are going to be something to follow and watch. And you know, there's things I like about the Wyatt family. I think they're marketable. You know, you're feeding off this whole Duck Dynasty era.
Right.
These guys are kind of similar to those guys.
Yeah, they're the super hyped up parodies of the redneck Southerners, right?
Yeah. And I watched that entrance on Monday, and I really liked the lantern gimmick, how he walks out with the lantern. And honestly, James, when I watched that entrance on Monday, I really thought that, I thought to myself that here you have another opportunity to have a really dramatic, dark entrance in the WWE. With the Undertaker possibly stepping away in a few years, you have that opportunity to have another really lights go out, elaborate, dark entrance. Maybe the Wyatts are the guys that take that over once the Undertaker steps away. Like, I could really see a really nice WrestleMania entrance with these guys.
No, I totally agree with you. Here's a question I'll throw at you. Do you think now with the Wyatts coming in, do you think that maybe takes away a little bit of the prestige of the Shield now?
Well, I'm kind of interested to know where they're going with the Shield, because they're not.
Well, it's been a little bit of a change for the Shield. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been used to the Shield being the guys who are always chasing, the guys who are always going after people. Well, now the Shield, it's kind of been reversed. Now they've got people going after them. Now they got people coming for them for their titles. So it's,
I think it's inevitable that we're going to see the Wyatts versus the Shield here.
I agree with you.
It's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
They should probably go that route immediately, in my opinion. I would like that, because the Shield are kind of, they're falling back a little bit. Not necessarily in terms of success, just, you know, they're just not as hot as they once were. So you put them with the Wyatts, who are the hot thing, you could have a really solid 3-on-3 feud for a little while.
Or you add a guy to each side, and you've got a great Survivor Series match. There comes Survivor Series pay-per-view.
Very interesting as well.
So lots of things you could do, definitely.
Are you thinking that the Wyatts are going to be the next latest and greatest?
Well, honestly, that remains to be seen.
It's tough to say.
It is very tough to say, because you could have said the same thing about Tensai, or you could have said the same thing about Brodus Clay, right?
Yeah.
They could have been or you could have said the same next thing about Fandango. People were saying that about Fandango, but I mean, it's gotta wait and see type of game, I guess, for these guys. I mean, the whole people chanting Husky Harris too, that did not help it at all.
I like that.
Yeah, I know you like that, but it did not help it whatsoever.
Well, it's just one of those moments where the WWE is like, damn, you know.
Well, that's just idiot fans. Yeah, I've seen you before.
Okay, I got another thing I want to ask you about. John Cena versus Mark Henry this Sunday. They're squaring off for the WWE Championship. This is more about, do you actually put the WWE Championship on Mark Henry, a guy who, let's be honest, greatly deserves that? He's never held it before.
There's never been a guy who's been more deserving. His work here over the past, 5-6 weeks here has just been exemplary. That Raw after the Payback pay-per-view, where he came out and he faked the retirement speech, he had everybody fooled.
That was one of the best moments in wrestling, I would say, in at least the past year.
Oh,
I was
past 5 years, I would say.
Well, just no.
He swerved everybody.
John Cena versus CM Punk in Money in the Bank for me was the best.
That hasn't taken that.
But that was a definite great moment on Monday Night Raw. Like, you and I were watching that together, and we were both just like, whoa.
Yeah,
like,
we had to pick our jaws up off the floor. I mean, he had the tears flowing. He was talking about his family, talking about his kids. Just unbelievable.
So here you have John Cena, the WWE champion, taking on Mark Henry. And I was saying to you earlier, like, the thing I really like about this match is that I feel Mark Henry should take the championship off of John Cena. Mark Henry's stuff right now is just unbelievably good. He's unbelievably good.
He should, but will he?
Absolutely not. I don't think so.
No?
I cannot see them taking the title off John Cena right now.
I have to tend to agree with you, but
there was a little period of time after WrestleMania where I thought, like, maybe they will take the title off Cena, or two-month reign or something.
This is the match we should have had at Extreme Rules.
Well, yes, of course. I know, it makes no sense.
You know, exactly. It doesn't make any sense. But
they should take it off Cena, put it on Henry, because Henry's stuff has been better than Cena's.
They have been. And this is what I'll say about that. You know, I tend to agree with you. I don't think Cena's going to lose on Sunday. My money's definitely on Cena. But that being said, I don't believe it's out of the realm of possibility that they could put the strap on to Mark Henry. I really don't.
It's just his facial expressions, his in-ring charisma.
Just the little things. Oh. He does all the little things right. And that's what makes, I'm telling you, that's what makes and breaks you in this professional wrestling business, mm-hmm. is doing those little things right.
I am such a Mark Henry fan.
Yes,
and it's unbelievable. Like that where he announced his retirement and faked it. I'm telling you, that was some of the best stuff I'd seen in a long time. And that was one of those moments where I was just like jaw dropping, or my jaw was dropping, I should say. And I was just like, oh my god, that's why you watch wrestling.
Like, in 2000,
moments like that.
In 2011, I said we'll never see anything as good as this from Mark Henry, and here I am 2 years later, eating my words.
What moment were you talking about with Mark Henry back in 2011?
Oh, back in 2011. How about when he was feuding with the Big Show? Remember when he pushed Big Show through the cage, and he was just inducting all those people into the Hall of Pain? Just like he was going on a tear.
Yeah, I know. And then he got injured.
He beat Randy Orton for the title. Yeah, and then he got injured.
And I was actually surprised to see Mark Henry rise up the way he has again. I thought we might have seen the last of him, but boy, did he fool us.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding.
Very good. Very good. Yes. And John Cena, at this point in time, I feel like this is just like, let's just carry Cena till next WrestleMania with the title, and we're going to go from there.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, they gave Punk a long, lengthy reign. They got to give Cena one, I would imagine. So
let's talk about CM Punk.
All right. What mean Wolverine?
Well, let me talk more about this idea, and that is CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar. I mean, yes, CM Punk is wrestling this Sunday in the Money in the Bank match, but I think a lot of people right now are, when you talk CM Punk, it's like, okay, let's talk about this Brock Lesnar thing, and is it happening on a SummerSlam, do you think?
I would imagine SummerSlam would be where it would happen. If not, it would be probably Survivor Series. Because I couldn't see them stretching it out until WrestleMania.
No, they've actually, kind of the night after CM Punk and Brock Lesnar had their first face-to-face in the ring, the WWE website had kind of like foreshadowed that this was a match that would happen at SummerSlam.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah. So that most likely is a scenario.
What did you think about the whole way that Brock Lesnar came out and did that to CM Punk? It was exactly the way that he did it, like verbatim, it was exactly the way that he came out and did it to John Cena.
The night after WrestleMania 28, let's just put this into perspective. On Monday Night Raw in Miami,
where we were there live,
John Cena comes out, Ryback interrupts him, it looks like he's going to say something to John, he just picks him up, F5s him.
I mean, Brock Lesnar.
Sorry.
Yeah, but I...
Brock Lesnar comes out, looks like he's going to talk to CM Punk.
Offers his hand.
Picks him up, F5s him.
Leaves.
Was there any difference?
No, it was exactly the same, verbatim, exactly the same.
I hated that.
I did too. I thought they could have came up with something a little bit more creative than that, but...
Are you interested in this match, even if you didn't have the greatest start to the program?
At this point, probably. My interest isn't probably what it should be, I would say, at this point. But, I mean, they've still got time to build this thing up. I'm sure it's going to get better.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
But is it a match that I'm going to, you know, fork $60 out of my pocket for SummerSlam? That remains to be seen at this point. But
you're probably going to fork $60 out off the overall vibe of the pay-per-view, right?
Exactly. But, I mean, talking about CM Punk and talking about Brock Lesnar, we can't talk about those guys without talking about Paul Heyman. Mm. And if we're going to talk about Paul Heyman, let's talk about his newest protege, Curtis Axel.
Well, I am not sold on him yet, but at the same time, I haven't given up on him yet. I think one thing I will say, I think he's one of the top wrestlers.
Absolutely. His in-ring work is spectacular. Definitely, he definitely has the pedigree from his father in that aspect.
You can just see how his mechanics when he's running the ropes and when he's, you know, when he's taking bumps. You can see that he's just polished.
Mm-hmm.
He takes it to a whole new level. I don't think we've really...
Everything's timed perfectly.
They haven't really showcased his in-ring talents yet. And that comes with building your character and building these moments with your character, right?
Well, they've given him quite a push so far. I mean, he's the current Intercontinental Champion.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know, maybe it's the name. I understand why they named him Curtis Axel. I don't really like the name.
I don't like the Axel name. I really wish they would have kept the Henning last name. That would have been cool.
I agree.
But
that, to me, hurts a little bit. But, I mean, I'm not going to just make or break a character based on
his name.
Hey,
you know what? At least, though, at this point, they're acknowledging that he was Mr. Perfect's son instead of ignoring it and calling him Michael McGillicuddy. At least they're acknowledging it.
Yeah.
And I really like his entrance music, how it's kind of like a throwback to Mr. Perfect's old entrance music.
There is something missing for me, though.
You know what? For me, too. And I would honestly say it would be his mic work. His mic work and his promo work, to me, isn't as solid as it should be, I would think.
But I do think there is definitely... I think it's a smart idea to put him with Paul Heyman.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, that will compensate what we just... thought he lacks, and that is his mic skills. And I'm not saying he's got terrible mic skills. I'm just, because, you know, really, who are we? But I feel like that maybe might be part of the missing element as to why we're not really behind him. And I think as well, anytime you debut as a heel, it's, you're not getting the momentum that you probably should anyways.
Well, it's way easier to debut as a heel than as a babyface, that's for sure.
Well, to have your... Yeah, okay.
Way easier.
All right, all right. Fair enough.
So
Wrestling 101.
Let's see. Hey, I don't make the rules, man. I just tell them.
What about...
Let's talk about Fandango, man. Has this guy just, like, completely lost his grace period or what?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I think he's...
They're still behind him?
I think he's dropped back with John Cena into the mid-card range.
I think people only care about him now because he's with Summer Rae.
I think that's got a lot to do with it.
I think that's got a huge part to do with it.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I Johnny Curtis isn't bad.
He's good.
No, his in-ring work is, it's on. I mean, being able to do that leg drop off the top rope the way that he does it crisp, he does it clean, doesn't hurt anybody. I mean.
Do you think a title picture for him would be beneficial at this point?
Do I really see a character like his being involved in a title picture? That's the question.
Why not? He beat Chris Jericho at WrestleMania.
Well, they had to do that. I mean, just to establish. I mean, if he lost that match at WrestleMania, he'd have had zero credibility going forward. Even less than he's gotten now.
I'm not going to say. I don't think that.
I think the injury probably kind of derailed his momentum a little bit.
I'm not going to say he would have had zero credibility. I mean, the guy's a new wrestler. He faced a veteran. He lost at WrestleMania. You'd still give the guy props.
I don't think people would have taken him seriously. I think people would have just looked at him as, okay.
Well, they would have looked at him differently.
He's one of these low to mid-card guys who's just there to put, you know.
No, I disagree. They got big plans for Fandango.
No, they do. They do have big plans for him. I agree with you there. But I'm just saying, if he had lost that match against you know, that's just how people would see him, whether they had had plans for him going forward or not, right?
So what, he's taken on I can't even remember
Fandango. He's in part of the world heavyweight title Money in the Bank match.
Well, let's talk about that. Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Antonio Cesaro, Jack Swagger, Dean Ambrose, and of course Fandango for the world heavyweight Money in the Bank contract.
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting. This is kind of like a diametric opposite of what the All-Star match is. This is kind of like a match of up-and-comers. But interesting thing about this match, if you notice, it's all heels.
Hmm.
There's no
I never noticed that, actually.
There's no baby faces in the match. It's a match of all heels. So it's kind of interesting in that aspect. So, I mean, I think we're probably going to see some cracks form in the relationship between Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow coming out of this match. As far as, you know, if you're going to ask me who's going to win this match, that's tough. That's a tough one to call for this one, you know.
Dean Ambrose would be a solid choice.
Dean Ambrose would be a solid choice. I'd also think Wade Barrett would probably be a solid choice as well, because Wade Barrett's one of these guys. He just seems like he's stuck in limbo right now. Like, they've got nothing for him. He's got nothing moving forward. He's just one of these guys that's there from week to week, that's just there, you know, and he's kind of stagnant. So I think a Money in the Bank win for him would do a lot to kind of revitalize him.
You know, aside from Dean Ambrose, I would say that six of the other guys are all in that same boat. Maybe, you know, you could argue that this match really is full of guys that need to go somewhere right now.
But you know what? I look at it and I go, okay, Antonio Cesaro, Jack Swagger, they're kind of involved with Coulter doing their kind of thing. So I don't really see any of them.
Okay.
I don't see them picking it up. And then you go to Sandow and Rhodes. I think you're going to start to see more cracks form in that relationship. I don't see either of those guys winning it. Fandango, I don't know if they really want to, you know, if they have that much confidence in Fandango yet. Mm-hmm. And Dean Ambrose, I mean, he's already the United States champion, so do you really want to give him the briefcase? I mean, I'm not saying Dean Ambrose would be my pick probably after Wade Barrett, but if I'm going to look at this match and make a pick, I'd have to say Wade Barrett would probably be the most, would be the one that screams out.
I'd like to see Wade Barrett win it. I really would.
Well, he needs it. I honestly, out of all these guys, he needs it the most.
That punch backstage to Fandango this past Monday, that was perfect.
Oh, well, that was a bad segment, though. It just made them all look like tools. But
Wade Barrett being a star.
I love it.
Fandango annoys him, he just punches him in the face.
That's what you do. That's how you deal with problems. Kids, if you're in school, somebody's bugging you, this is how you deal with problems. You just punch them in a group of people
and stand
around and laugh.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to a topic that we probably should have talked about at the top of the show. And this is kind of where I want to leave Tale of the Tape tonight, because it's a very important one. Maybe not as important right now, but down the road it could have major implications. And I want to talk about this on-camera presence that we have with Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, and Triple H. And right now, they're interacting with Vicky Guerrero, firing her ultimately on Monday, making Brad Maddox the new GM.
Yeah.
This is a very big...
interesting.
To me, this is a big topic to talk about. How do you... I think it's... Let me start by saying this. I think it's well documented that Vince McMahon doesn't like to be on television. I think from everyone we've talked to backstage, they've told us that, you know, he prefers to be behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm. Which is strange because he's amazing on television.
As he proved on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that clip that we played at the start of the Tale of the Tape segment here tonight with Vince McMahon.
He's an amazing performer.
He just basically showed everyone how to do it.
Yeah.
You know? And he doesn't crack.
No.
That's the best part.
He doesn't at all. He's smooth from start to finish, but...
Okay, we talk about Vince McMahon being solid, although we have sat here before and said that Vince McMahon is terrible when he's in his goofy gimmick.
Yeah.
Right?
When he's in the goofy Vince... Yeah, when he's in
But
the
we haven't seen that really past Monday or the last couple weeks, so I applaud... I can't believe I'm saying it, but I actually like having him on television.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, when this whole dynamic between the three kind of started out, I was groaning and going, oh. Do we really need to see another McMahon battle? Mm-hmm. Is this just going to lead to a match between Triple H and Vince? Please spare me the agony. That was my initial reaction. But as it progressed from week to week and how they've kind of, you know, played this game of power tug-of-war with Vicky Guerrero being in the middle, and Vicky Guerrero... She's done an amazing job in this whole thing, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they kind of complimented her that. I mean, they kind of pointed out during her job performance review that she has the ability to really entertain the crowd.
Oh, she does. I mean...
And that's a subtle... Like,
And we've said this about Vicky before. She's the biggest heat magnet in the company by far.
Yeah.
But as far as this whole dynamic is concerned, I mean, I'm actually starting to enjoy this a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see... where they go. The one thing I do cringe about every week, though, is Stephanie McMahon. Oh, I can't.
I was just going to ask you, what are your thoughts? You talk about Vince, but what are your thoughts on Stephanie and Triple H in this role?
See, Stephanie is like the diametric opposite of Vince McMahon, whereas Vince McMahon is smooth and it seems natural and seems like a real character. Stephanie just feels like fake, robotic. The stuff she says is so script. It's like she thinks about how she's going to deliver it beforehand. It feels very... very cold and corporate, you
but
know?
Think of Vince in his early days where he was trying to really sell the heel Mr. McMahon character. Is that not what Stephanie's doing here? Is she not getting under the skin of everyone?
Well, if she's doing it, that she's doing it wrong. I'm going to tell you. I'll say that right now.
You think so?
Oh, I absolutely.
Well, I'd be interested to hear you say Vince, that right to
Vince,
her face.
Yeah,
well, that's another story. She'll rip your face off.
That's another story. But she's the thing with Vince becoming the heel character was we loved to hate Vince. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't love to hate Stephanie. I just plain out hate Stephanie. Like I.
Well, why is that?
X-Pac heat, man. I don't know. There's just something about her where she has to go out there and like prove that she's got like the biggest dick out of everybody. You know?
I don't like that.
AJ was on the ramp. Caitlyn was on the ramp. She came back. She's like, oh yeah, by the way, don't ever interrupt me again. I'm like, who the
fuck? Yeah, I don't like that.
That's
just coming across as
a complete douche.
Yeah, well, just a bitch, basically. And I don't have time for people like that. No. So that's not really selling me on being a heel. She's selling the idea that she is the lead female authority figure, right? So she's gonna do that sort of stuff to sell you on the idea, but just the way she does it isn't working with me. It's I don't like seeing
it's,
her.
It's garnered X-Pac heat with me. I don't want to see her on my TV anymore. Yeah. I don't like her as a performer, and I'm starting to not like her as a person.
Could change. I don't think so, but at this point, no. But there needs to be some tweaking there. Let me ask you this: Stephanie, Triple H, Vince, why are they on television right now?
Well, I've read a lot of stuff on the internet. Of course, the internet being the most, you know, reliable source of information there is. I've read a lot of stuff that this is going to lead into something at WrestleMania 30 between Triple H and Vince. Now, you're not going to see Vince wrestle, obviously. I think Vince will probably have, like, you know, he'll have somebody that wrestles for him, kind of like how he had Umaga back in 05 or whatever. But why they're on TV, I don't know, maybe part of it is Triple H's ego to try to keep himself relevant. I don't know.
Well, I think it could be two things, and here's my philosophy. I think, first of all, I think the USA Network likes seeing the McMahons on television. I've read that somewhere, and I firmly believe that's to be true. I think people who call the shots to Vince McMahon, which would be USA Network. Mm-hmm. I think they like having that drama on television. You know, there's constant power struggle within the WWE. And mm-hmm. you know what? By having the McMahons at the forefront of that, it just looks that much more legitimate. It wouldn't be the same power struggle within the company if you were using Vicky and Brad Maddox with someone else. You know what I mean?
Like John Laurinaitis or something.
By having the McMahons there, that McMahon name is a brand, and it's mm-hmm. it's marketable. And I think the execs at USA Network like that.
You could be right, man.
On top of that, I think that we are probably seeing a slow build to passing the company torch to Triple H and Stephanie.
That was, that was the next point that I was going to...
You know, like WrestleMania 30, if you think about it, it's not a bad time for Vince McMahon to sit back and officially say to everyone, okay, I'm retiring. And it's now Triple H and Stephanie's.
Do you ever really think you'll see Vince do that, though? Well, I think Vince's retirement will be his death.
Well, I tend to disagree. I think he wants to enjoy retirement at some point. And you got to, and think about it, as Vince McMahon, would you not want to pass the company along and sit back from a distance and watch and make sure it's being run the way you envisioned it?
You know, I don't know. I can't speak to how Vince McMahon is, because I don't know the guy, but mm-hmm. I feel that Vince McMahon's one of these guys that he'll never feel satisfied unless he's in there getting his hands dirty, and he's doing it himself. That's just the kind of guy that I feel Vince McMahon is. I don't know. I honestly could be 100% wrong.
I am. To me, this is a beauty scenario for a WrestleMania setup match,
mm-hmm.
right? You and I could be sitting here a week before WrestleMania 30 saying, who is going to have control of the WWE? Is it going to be
Vince? And we could be bringing this debate up all over again. Exactly.
So this is a possible WrestleMania match setup, and a good one at that, because it could go either way. Yeah, Vince could continue to run the company, or Triple H and Stephanie could fight for the power of the company, and they could ultimately have a match or some sort of, you know, setup at WrestleMania 30.
Something like they did in 05. You're
and
right.
Think about it as Vince McMahon. I mean, 30 years you've successfully pulled off a WrestleMania and everything in between. That's a good time to pass the torch.
Yeah, so. No, I agree, but
I don't know.
I don't think Vince is that kind of guy personally.
But I think ultimately that's why we're seeing as much of the McMahons on television as we are right now.
No, you know what? You could be totally right, actually, now that I think about that.
I'm liking Vince, not necessarily liking Stephanie. What about Triple H in this role?
Oh, I don't know. I have such mixed feelings when it comes to Triple H, seeing him on TV. You know, every time I see Triple H on TV now, I ask myself, is this just something to placate his ego, or is there going to be some grander scheme behind the whole thing? You know, I don't know. I've like my whole thing with Triple H is mixed feelings. So, but anyways, to end off to end off our segment, why don't we just quickly run down Money in the Bank happening this Sunday?
Okay,
and I'll start off here. Okay, we got the pre-show with the Usos, Jimmy and Jey Uso, taking on Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, The Shield, for the WWE Tag Team titles. Who do you think is coming out of this one?
I think The Shield.
Oh, definitely.
I like The Usos.
I like The Usos, too. I think they've got some good stuff coming up ahead. But
I think it's a compliment that you put The Usos against The Shield. Absolutely. It's a bump up for them. So that's the payoff for them here, mm-hmm. right? Is they're now in the spotlight.
Yeah, they're getting their push, which is what they need.
But I think The Shield takes it.
I totally agree with you. I think it's going to be The Shield. Okay, we got Caitlyn taking on AJ Lee for the Divas title.
Well, if I have to see Caitlyn cry anymore, there might be some issues, but
God, there's no crying in wrestling.
I think AJ retains here. I think AJ retains.
Oh, definitely AJ's going to retain. And then we got Chris Jericho taking on Ryback in a singles match.
I could not care less more about Ryback right now. I'm just Ryback, not interested in
Ryback him. Needs to win this match, and I think he will.
I think so as well.
Because I just Jericho winning this match would make absolutely zero sense. The guy's about to take another hiatus to go on tour with his band, so having him go over Ryback make absolutely zero sense.
All right.
So we got Miz taking on Curtis Axel next, and this is for the WWE Intercontinental title.
I think Curtis Axel would take this, just strictly based off momentum, but there is an argument to keep The Miz strong right now. So.
Oh, The Miz is cold right now. Miz is really,
you think
really cold.
So?
Oh, big time. Miz is big time cold right now.
Interesting. All right.
And then we got Dolph Ziggler taking on Del Rio.
I think Dolph Ziggler, without question, is taking this.
Oh, I think so too. I think it's gonna. Well, you know what? That now that I think about it, that's maybe not so clear cut. Maybe you could see, you know, maybe Langston and AJ Lee come out to try to quote unquote help Ziggler with his match, and they end up costing him, mm-hmm. and maybe that'll create a rift between, you know, Langston and and Ziggler.
Yeah.
And they'll set up maybe a match between those two at SummerSlam. So that's that match isn't so clear cut.
Okay.
But I would tend to agree with you. I think Ziggler would probably come out on top there.
Fair enough. Well, we've already talked about the two money
we've,
in the banks.
We talked about the two money in the banks. I'm picking Wade Barrett for the blue case, and then I'm picking CM Punk for the red. What about you?
I'm going to take Wade Barrett and Sheamus.
Wade Barrett and Sheamus.
Yeah.
All right. And then, of course, we've got the big WWE title match. Mean Mark Henry taking on John Cena.
It should be Mark
Henry. It should be Mark Henry, but we both know it's going to be Cena.
Ugh.
So...
Is there
that,
you go.
Is that bad that we can go down and just... Like, this looked like a good pay-per-view on paper. But
it is.
We just ran it down, and it seems totally predictable.
Well, kind of what I'm talking about. Well, just not that into it.
Hopefully we get swerved a bit here happening on Sunday.
Something's going to happen at some point. We're getting to SummerSlam season, and that's the second biggest show of the year, so yeah. They say. So something big is going to happen.
Regardless, I think we'll be buying this pay-per-view.
Oh, really?
It seems interesting. Well, I will be anyways.
I think you owe me a couple pay-per-views, so you'll probably be buying it
what?
For me.
What? Do I get this whole chat going here? What?
Yeah. Lots. I mean, we just really scratched the surface tonight
we
of what's
really
going
did.
On.
We really did, yeah. There's lots more to talk about, but I mean, when you're away for 2 months, all you can do is really scratch the surface and hope for next week.
Yeah. When are we going to do another show, James?
I'd like to do another one next week, but it's...
Interesting.
We've got the whole fallout from Money in the Bank we can talk about. Another week of Monday Night Raw to dissect. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It we all, might it, just do that.
It just all depends on how things in our lives go, right?
You know what? Let's make it official. We're coming back one
all
more
right,
week.
All right, let's do it. We're
the
coming
week
back.
After Money in the Bank.
The week after Money in the Bank. We will be back.
We just promised that, so there's no turning back.
There's no turning back now. What a show, man. Bret the Hitman Hart on Smack Talk Radio Live. I'm still on cloud nine about this whole thing.
No
man.
Kidding. Thank you to him once again.
Yes,
it was just,
for the millionth time. Thank you, Bret.
No, it was just a solid interview.
It was really cool.
Nice to talk to him about possibly having WrestleMania in Vancouver. Something I like to talk more about.
It was just nice to talk to him about Vancouver in general, yeah. Because you don't really hear Bret Hart talk about Vancouver like you were saying.
I think a lot of wrestlers don't like to talk about their stories in Vancouver.
For good reason.
Alright, this show we call Smack Talk Radio Live. You find it at www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Oh, almost screwed that one up.
Whew.
You also can like the page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. We're on Twitter at SRL Radio. And if you have an iPhone or an Android, you just go to Stitcher.com and search for Smack Talk Radio Live. Money in the Bank this Sunday from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And we want to hear what you think about it. We also have an email address onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. Who do you think is going to take the red briefcase? Who do you think is going to take the blue briefcase? Do you feel the same way Corey does about the product nowadays?
Mm-hmm.
Send us an email, tell us your thoughts and opinions, and there might just be some cool swag heading your way.
Whose side are you on? Corey's or James's?
That's basically what it comes down to.
I'm interested to know, because...
It's basically what it comes to. Just put it in the subject field, Corey or James, and then we'll know, right?
All right. We'll be back next week. We made it official. Smack Talk Radio Live, back from summer hiatus. I'm Corey Callahan.
And I'm James McDonald.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening.